because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets. The ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And then we'll proceed to the verse 20, and we'll read but 2 more, verses 20 and 21. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. We'll end the reading there at the verse 21, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading from His precious and inspired word. Let's just pause now for a moment's word of prayer before we look further into this portion of the Word of God. Our gracious and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the joy and privilege of being in the house of God. We can say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. We pray that, O God, if that joy is not in the hearts of some of God's people, that Thou restore to them the joy of God's so great salvation. We don't want to live the Christian life downcast and depressed when Jesus Christ has shed His blood to bring us continually into victory. And so we pray that their cups will be full and running over. And, O God, should there be those amongst us and their outside of Jesus Christ, they're strangers to grace and strangers to God. We pray tonight that their heart's door will be widely opened, and that they might bid the Savior enter while they may and while He may be found. We remember this dear young man burdened for his father. And, O God, we pray that the walls of opposition around this man's heart will be brought down. And, O God, the Lord Jesus might enter in saving and redeeming grace and power. Encourage his heart and soul. And we pray that you'll give him grace to pray on and to pray through until Jesus hears and answers prayer. Bless the brethren here now as we further wait before thee. Thou again knowest the need of the hour. And we pray that thy precious word will come to every heart, not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. We pray again for the defeat of hell, and for the triumph of heaven, for the depopulating of hell, and the increasing of the kingdom of God's dear Son. Bring every thought now into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And in these few closing moments, we pray that you'll have thine own way in every heart. Thou art the potter. We are but the clay. Mold us. Make us afresh after thy will. While we are waiting, yielded and still. Oh God, hear now this our prayer. Deepen the work of grace in every heart, for we ask it in the Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Tonight, in the few moments that remain, I want for us from this portion to see how we may again see the intervention of God. We're reading here of the fall of Jericho's walls. They fell because God intervened. The nation of Israel would be still encompassing those walls, still going in circles, had not God come to the fore and gave to them a mighty deliverance. So from this account, I want for us to see for our encouragement how we may see divine intervention in this our day. Now Jericho at this juncture was filled with many thoughts, chief among which was faint-heartedness. That is what the Bible tells us. There was no mustering of her forces, no issuing forth of her men of war, no sudden night attack upon the army of Israel encamped nearby along the Jordan. Their heart, the Bible tells us, melted. Neither was their spirit or courage in them anymore. Why? Because of the children of Israel. God was amongst them. Consequently, they struck fear into the hearts of their enemies. Israel, on the other hand, was probably impatient, eager to be led to the conflict. The men of war, confident in their might, were eager to match themselves against the inhabitants of the land. And conscious that the passage of the Jordan had been due to the presence of the priests, it may have been that there was a secret desire to show that the time had come for the priests to stand aside. While they proved their powers and won the land by their might. But they had to learn that the land was a gift to be received by faith, not won by human power. And you, my dear friend, if you're ever going to be saved, you must learn this very same lesson. Salvation is a gift received by the hand of faith alone, not by human works, but by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Work for your salvation and you will be damned. Rest by faith in Christ and all that he has done, and you'll be saved immediately and eternally. And over this 2-week gospel campaign, we have been stressing upon those who've come in under the roof of the house of God that salvation is not by human effort. The work has already been done. Jesus said, the work is finished. There's nothing now for you and I to do except by faith to receive that gracious and that saving work. I wonder tonight, will you cease from your own works that will only take your soul to hell and rest by faith in Jesus Christ and experience the joy of God's salvation. So these men had to learn that the land was a gift, not to be won by human might, but given from the hand of God. God required of them only to obey to wait and to trust. While the divine captain led his heavenly host to the assault and achieved the victory. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, going about the city once. Now it was certainly the strangest weaponry, strangest spectacle ever witnessed by an opposing army. They must have been baffled as they looked upon this strange spectacle circling their walls. The Israelites did not make an assault. They did not set up mounds or place scaling ladders against the walls. They did not even give an opportunity for discussion of terms of surrender. And either side, it seems to have been understood that it would be war, and it would be war to the death with no mercy shown. And without delay, the host of Israel began encompassing the city, more importantly, the ark. So typical of Christ encompassed the city, and the men of war accompanied it. That's where the emphasis is. And toward the city, this strange spectacle made its way, keeping an absolute silence. That must have been difficult. Except the priests, white-robed, went on continually and blew with trumpets. The whole host walked silently around the city, and when the circuit was completed, to the surprise of the Canaanites, who probably expected an immediate assault, it returned quietly to the camp. And so it did, the Bible says, 6 days. On the seventh day, the circling of the walls was repeated 7 times. And at the close of the seventh, Joshua's voice rang out the command, shout! For the Lord hath given you the city. Then the priests blew a blast upon the trumpets. The people shouted with a great shout. Then, of course, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. The earth, it would seem, opening up to receive those walls so that the people could go up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city. You see, those walls essentially were as wide as they were high. And for them merely to topple over would have been no use, as you would say in this country. God had to remove them. Then every person of the nation of Israel ascended up straight without obstruction into the city of Jericho. Hebrews 11 verse 30 reveals by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the walls of opposition that so often confront us in our Christian walk and in our Christian work, blocking our way to the fulfilled promises and blessing of God, could be obliterated? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Well, dear child of God, they can be. You say, what? Yes, they can be. These things have been written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come, and I want to tell you how. You see, because the glory of God depends on it. A defeated army brings no glory to God. So tonight we want to see how these walls that so often confront us all can be brought down by the mighty power of God. Now, before proceeding with this explanation, allow me to make a few more remarks, and they're these. And I think they're necessary. If Egypt represents our conflict with the world, and Amalek our conflict with the flesh, and the seven nations of Canaan represent our conflict with the devil and wicked spirits, then, brethren, there's a lesson here. And I believe, of course, what I've just said is true, because this is the clear teaching of the Word of God. With respect to these seven nations of Canaan, these evil forces resist our entrance into spiritual Canaan. And when I speak of the nations of Canaan, I'm speaking of them representatively of the wicked spirits and of the devil himself. And these forces resist our entrance into spiritual Canaan. And all our practical realization of what Christ has wrought for us already. And entrenched behind the walls of some stronghold or difficulty or sinful habit, they defy us and they discourage us and threaten to impede our progress in the Christian life. Now, who is there among us who has not known of something? A friendship, a secret sin, a worldly entanglement reared as an impassable barrier to the enjoyment of those blessed possibilities of Christian spirit, which are ours in Christ, but which, because of these things, seem beyond our reach. Now, brethren, these things are like the walls of Jericho. And we need to recognize them for what they are. Surely it cannot be the purpose and the mind and the will of God that anything, however deeply rooted, should shut us out of the heavenly places that are ours in Christ. Jesus bled and died to give them to us, even though it should be the result of our own sin or past mistakes. I have met with Christians who have said, in essence, that they have forfeited forever their right to the richer experiences of the Christian life because they have committed some sin, some indiscretion in the past. And even though it was long ago forgiven and forsaken, yet it has left its shame, its scar, and they feel their path into Canaan is barred. And they are destined, they think, to live or encamp on the fringe of the promised land while others go rushing in. Perhaps tonight that is the feeling of your heart. Maybe that's the feeling of many a heart gathered into the house of the Lord this evening. Well, to all such, there is wonderful help and comfort in the words spoken by the great captain to Joshua. See, I have given. Look, Joshua. I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now then, what did Joshua have to do? And this is where we want to come to tonight. What did Joshua have to do? What do we need to do to see the intervention of God in bringing down and removing these soul-destroying and these disheartening walls that ever seem to loom up before us? Brethren, it's the will of God for them to be brought down. That's the will of God for you and for me. And I want to set three things before you tonight that I trust God will impress upon your heart. And that you'll be led forward collectively and into victory and individually into greater victory in the days to come. The first is this. It's not very complex. The first thing that Israel had to do was this. They had to be still. They had to be still. Oh, the hardest of all commandments, this. And perhaps no one knows this better than the preacher or the elder. That our voice should not be heard. That no word should proceed from our mouth. That we should utter our complaints and concerns to God alone. All this is foreign to the experience of many. To keep our tongue still, as well as our hearts, does not come naturally or easily. We like, do we not, to air our grievances, to talk over our ailments, and to compare ourselves with others. But brethren, it's only the still heart that can perceive in the height of adversity God's loving care. Or hears the whisper of a still small voice in the midst of the storm and know His full grace and His full power. Only when we have quieted ourselves to men can we reach that position in which God will intervene for our help. Be still! Well, that's hard, isn't it? Be still! And if you're here tonight and there's a great clamor in your heart. There may be stillness outwardly, but maybe there's noise inwardly. Well, I have to tell you this, you won't get much from this message. If that's the condition of your heart. No, we must be still, says the Lord. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I remember recently watching a newscast, and I was, you know the way it is, I was watching for one particular story. I had to go all through the rest of the forecast, or rather the newscast, before it came to the point that I wanted to hear and see. And just as that particular clip came to air, in came the children, making a great noise. And I said, shh, shh, want to hear this? Now every parent can identify with that. And that's what God said to us as His children. He wants to speak to us. Just when He wants to speak to us, then we come rushing in, making all kinds of noise. And God says, shh, be still. Be still. Hush. Be still. And then you'll know that I am God. Cease from man. His breath is in his nostrils. Be still. And know that I am God. And that soul may well be still and wait, which has learned that the Lord of hosts is beside it, and that the God of Jacob is its refuge. And that friend that goes to pour out its secret agony, you see, there must be communion before conquest. Wait quietly. Wait patiently. They had to wait 7 days. They were eager to get to the battle. But God's timing was perfect. They were on a roll. They had just come miraculously into the land of Canaan. Surely they thought this was God's time. No, it wasn't. It wasn't God's time. We're not to rush ahead of the ark, nor are we to lag behind. And if we're going to hear the command of God, we must be still. Now that's the first thing. We need the help of the Lord to be still. And then secondly, they must obey. As in this story, so it is in grace. There must be cooperation between God and redeemed man. The walls of Jericho could fall down only by divine power. That's true. But the children of Israel must needs encompass them. The walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, only God can remove the difficulties that stand in the way of an entirely consecrated and blessed life. But there are commands and duties which are incumbent upon us to obey. Now, what are these? Well, in some cases, perhaps we are withholding obedience that we should give at once. The priests were white-robed. That speaks of purity. And if you're saved tonight, you're a priest. And I'm a priest. We don't need the papist priest. We have a great high priest, and he has made us little priests, priests unto God. And these priests were white-robed, and that speaks, of course, of purity. And I often think of that earnest inquiry, we don't hear it very often today, from the heart of that godly elder there in the Isle of Lewis. Revival had tarried in coming to that district. And he said, Lord, are my hands clean? And is my heart pure? And immediately that dear man was put down on the ground before God. And I have no doubt that his hands were a lot cleaner than many in our day. His heart much more pure. But oh, brethren, we must obey the commands of God. That's the only way to blessing. It's the only way to victory. It's the only way to joy. Are my hands clean? Is my heart pure enough for God to use me? These are things that we ought to do, and perhaps we're not doing. And then there is the equal danger in doing more than we should, endeavoring to scale the walls which we are told to encompass, shouting before the word of command has been uttered, making the circuit of the city more often than ordered. Oh, it's so hard to feel that by doing less, we're actually doing more, isn't it? By resting and waiting quietly and prayerfully, as it were, in our tents. I remember two months ago, we've just come into October. We went home for the first time in 4 years this past August. And I felt it would not be a good thing to go home too soon. I had been home. There was a death in the family. I had to go home a few times, but they were just quick flights home and back again. This was the first time we all as a family went back home. And so there were several pieces of luggage. By the way, when we went back home, we had 19 days of wall-to-wall sunshine. And then when we came back here, it was like 19 days of wall-to-wall rain. But it's not called the Emerald Isle for nothing. And so we had 9 pieces of luggage. We were each allowed 2 pieces, six of us. We were allowed 12, but we had 9 pieces of luggage. And we were so eager to get off the plane and to our ride up north that we rushed to the carousel to get our luggage off. I thought, this is it. This is it. And we went through the immigration. And I thought before leaving the airport, I'd better count to make sure we have all the luggage. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Where's the ninth? It was back on the carousel. It wasn't just a simple matter. We had just come through immigration. It wasn't a simple matter just going back in again. I had to go back through immigration. I had to go to this desk and that desk, that part of the airport. 2 hours later, I was coming out with that 9th piece of luggage. Then we got caught in the rush hour. One thing led to another. Why? Because I didn't take the time to count. And it's so hard to think that by doing less, we are doing more. Whatever then is the clearly revealed will of God, let us immediately perform it. And leave it to God to do the rest. And just put up the sail of surrender to the will and the wind of God and let Him take us where He will. Just you and I keep on encompassing those walls. They had to go around them 13 times. They were going in circles. Isn't that the way we feel? Just going in circles. The same old circuit. The same old routine. Just we've seen every part of that wall. 13 times they had to go around it. I think of that dear man tonight. What must he do? He must continue to plead with the unconverted and with God in prayer. That's what we must do. Our mission is over, but the work isn't over. God's work isn't over. We must pray on, we must preach on, we must plod on and plead on until the walls erected around hearts and homes come down. You say, when will I know when it is time enough to stop? When the walls come down. And if the walls haven't come down, then it's not time to stop. You see, it's very clear. The devil wants you to stop. And he wants me to stop because he knows the walls will come down if we'll just obey and keep on doing faithfully what the Lord would have us do. Kerry labored for a lifetime in India, marching around letters and languages and dialects. David Livingstone spent his life in walking up and down Africa. Oh, but how God used them. You say, well, I've gone around this wall and I've gone around that wall countless times. And I have seen so little accomplished. I was reading an experience of C.H. Spurgeon when he was in the military prison, not for crimes, by the way, he had done, he was there visiting the military prison at Dublin. And he said, I observed a form of punishment. He said, men were carrying large shot or large ammunition. Now, I suppose it was more of a training than a punishment, we could say. And a man took up a large shot or ammunition and carried it to the end of the yard. And he afterwards had to pick up that same piece of ammunition and take it to the other end and pile it up there. And back he went, back and forth. The officer said, we used to have them go to one end and pile it up there, and then they could see that there was work being done. But he said that was no use. And so what we did was we would have them go from one end, we would have them carry the ammunition from one end of the yard to the other, and then back again, and then back again, and they feel that they work so hard and see nothing done. And the hardest work on earth is to do the work of God and see so little fruit for your labor and mine. Isn't it? Well, now we must leave the results with God. We believe in the sovereignty of God, theoretically. Well, we're not to pry into that. It is ours just to do what God has told us to do. Do it faithfully. And God will bless. Now that brings us to the third point. They were to be still. They were to obey. And they were to have faith. I think this is what separates the men spiritually from the boys. To believe that as they do the will of God, that God not only will but must bless. Now, I would encourage you tonight to look away from all your labors, from all your preparations, even from your God-commanded acts to God Himself. And as you do so, your difficulties will melt away, believe it or not. Now, you must believe it. And that stone will be rolled from the mouth of the sepulchre. That iron gate will open of its own accord. Those mighty walls will fall flat, even though it doesn't make human sense. For you to do what God asks you to do, you just continue to believe. By faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, never miss that. Do you believe that when you're doing the will of God, that God will bless it, and that God will give blessing and God will give victory? Do you believe that? Or do you go out in unbelief and say, well, I'll encompass those walls. I won't say this to anyone. But this is just an exercise in futility. I'm just going around here in circles. Nothing will be done. And that's precisely what the devil wants you to think. And we're far too ready to believe the devil's lie than to simply take God at His word. Oh, for grace we sung, to trust Him more. Just to take Him at His word. Just to take Him at His... There's nothing complex about that. Just, child of God, take God at His word. May we not insult Him by our unbelief. And whatever it be that seems an insurmountable difficulty to the enjoyment, to your enjoyment of the best of those things that Christ has purchased, just hand it over to the Savior. Just roll the burden on Him. Wait before Him in silence till you know what He would have you do, and then do it. At the same time, believe that He is in the midst, whether you can see it or not, that He is working for you, and that in accordance with His word, the crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places shall be made smooth. He has given. Notice that. He has given. Now, you know the need of this church. Better than I do. But here is what God says. He says, He has It's as good as done. He has given you Jericho. Now let your hearts dwell on that glad word. And though the walls, perhaps the walls of apathy and of depravity as far as the unconverted are concerned, or more discouraging still, the walls of indifference, even opposition from the saints of God, though they're yet standing, they are as good as gone. And with their ruins behind you, you shall go forward to possess the land. Now, I didn't say that. God said it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? It is the word of God. See. Can you not see it with the eye of faith? See, I have given you, Joshua. I have given you Jericho. I'm reminded here, George Mueller, and with this I'll close. In November 1844, he says, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether sick or in health, on land or sea. 18 months elapsed before the first of the 5 was converted. I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years elapsed, and then the second was converted. I thanked God for the second and prayed on for the other 3. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed by before the third was converted. I thanked God for the third and prayed on for the other 2. You say, what about those other 2? Number 4 and 5, George Mueller, his work on earth was done. God took him. But his prayers lived on. And in 1897, those 2 men, sons of a friend of Mr. Mueller's youth, were converted by the grace of God. Such was this man's triumphant faith, whatever the difficulty. So you see, child of God, you must continue to go around the walls. You do your part, and God will do His. Just keep at it, and keep at it. Let us be pure and holy, giving time to heart searching in the presence of our Captain. Let us continue to lift up the sacrificial work of Christ. Let us blow the gospel trumpet of alarm and summon men to surrender. Let us be much in silent prayer before God, even as the word is being preached. Let us cherish a spirit of unity and love as the tribe forgot their differences in one common offensive against their foes. Above all else, let us believe in the presence and the intervention of God. If we don't believe that, you might as well close the doors of this church and go home. Above all else, let us believe in the presence and intervention of God, who is often pleased to give sudden, surprising, and complete victory. And we shall see the old miracle repeated and the walls falling down flat. So if there are just 3 things you remember from this sermon, I'll be well pleased. Be still. Obey. And believe. Very easy in theory. A little more difficult in practice, but the grace of God is sufficient. And I trust, brethren, that you here in Coleraine, that we in Resharkin, will see in all of our churches, and in every village where there isn't a free church, thank God the blessing of the Lord isn't limited to the free church. We shall see the old miracle repeated, and the wall around that heart, and the wall around that heart, coming down and Jesus entering straight in. It'll happen. Do you believe that? It will happen, brethren. Let us pray God will keep us faithful and at the job for Himself. Our gracious and loving Father, rise and press the button.